Hello, everybody. Welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending where in the world you are joining us from today. We are so excited to have you joining us for our live coaching demonstration today. I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping so that we're all on the same page. So the session today is going to last 90 minutes, and we're going to interact with each other using the Q&A box. And so you go ahead and find the Q&A box, and you can type in where in the world you are joining us from today. And Chris, who's part of the WBEX team, is going to help us with the Q&A box today. So I see Singapore, Spain, Canada, Germany, Hong Kong, Dallas, Montreal, Slovenia, the Philippines, UK, Denver, Poland. This is like the best part for me. I love to see these cities and countries as they fly by.
Me too.
So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And like I said, I'm just so excited to be here. I think this is such a wonderful opportunity for each of us as coaches to witness, somebody at Marcia's level to, you know, share her approach to coaching. So as I said, the session is going to last 90 minutes, and we're going to use the Q&A box. Looks like you've got that part down. The chat box has been disabled, so you're not going to be able to type into the chat box, but we are going to drop links into there for you from time to time. So keep an eye on the chat box, or just make sure that you open it before you go and grab those links. You'll be able to copy them, or you'll be able to click on them. So that should be fine. My name is Anne-Marie Provisero. I am head of operations here at WBEX, and I'm going to be the host for Marcia Reynolds' session today. So in order to make the most of this time, we highly recommend that you just turn off all the distractions. It's 90 minutes. Put your phone down. Unless you're watching us on your phone, then you can have your phone. But otherwise, put your phone down. Maybe get out a pad and some paper, a pen, and prepare to take notes and just be here in this moment. So with that said, welcome. I see more and more people joining. Thank you for that. This is the WBEX live coaching demonstration. And for those of you who don't know, our mission here at WBEX is to significantly raise the global standard of coaching. And we do this by providing you with a variety of digital learning experience delivered by world-class thought leaders that you can access from anywhere in the world. And I think that's such a cool thing. Like, how cool is it that you get to sit with these amazing people wherever you are in the world? It's just phenomenal. So the live coaching demonstrations that you're experiencing today, there are new feature that we've been piloting through the month of August. And so far, we've had such incredible feedback from you guys that we are going to make sure that these become a regular feature to our paid members of the Full Summit. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Full Summit, what it is, we offer weekly interactive presentations, implementation mastery sessions to lock in the learning, and that you get to experience with coaches from around the globe. We also have these live coaching demonstrations from Brilliant Minds in Coaching. And we're going to be covering topics to enhance your coaching, provide you with amazing tools and processes that you can incorporate into your businesses right now. The program also offers access to over 200 CCEUs. So for those of you who need continuing education credits, we got you covered here. Now, to take advantage of our early bird pricing, which offers up to $700 off our most popular Executive Speed Learner package, go ahead and check out the link that Chris is going to post into the chat box for you. And like I said, you'll be able to click these links or copy them out, so you'll have them as a resource. We encourage you to continue the conversation on all of the things that you're learning throughout these live coaching demonstrations. And you can do that, connect with your peers from across the globe. Chris is going to pop a link into the chat box for you for a Facebook thread that's specific to this session. So after the session is over, you can head over there and you can tell us, what was your experience of this session? What did you learn? What did you love? What excited you? Maybe what's your golden nugget from this session, if you will? And you can share that and have a discussion with everyone. So with that, we are going to dive in. So I would love to introduce to you Marcia Reynolds. She is fascinated by the brain, especially what triggers feelings of connection, commitment, and possibility. She's coached and trained leaders in over 36 countries and has presented at the Harvard Kennedy School, Cornell University, and Smith College, among others. She was one of the first 25 people in the world to earn the Master Certified Coach designation, and she also actually helped to found the International Coach Federation. She was recognized by the Global Gurus Top 30 in 2018 as the number 5 coach in the world. And her fun fact for today, she is wearing her TEDx shirt that she wore when she gave a talk called How to Coach Precocious Women at the Perryville Women's Correctional Prison. So welcome, Marcia.
Thank you.
And our client for today is Aurora Martinez, and she's a senior executive VP in educational technology industry, and she focuses on developing educational technology material and building teams. And she's a former client of Marcia's. And with that, we are going to dive into our demonstration. So thank you and welcome, ladies.
Great, thank you. Okay, so I want to just talk a little bit about my approach to coaching so we can kind of direct what it is that I would love for you to notice as I coach Aurora. So I do coach from an ICF perspective, which to me means that I'm focusing on the person, not necessarily the problem. Why is it that this smart, creative, whole, resourceful person is having difficulty to resolve to get where she wants to go? So yes, we do have to have a goal. We have to have a definition, a destination, so we know where we're going. But it's about more about being present. So I want to put some of the stereotypes to rest about, you know, well, ICF coaching. It's not all questions. Coaching, in our definition, is a reflective inquiry process. So you're going to notice that I use reflective techniques as much as questions, that I summarize, that I want Aurora to hear what she's saying so she can stop and think about it. Because it's more about holding up the mirror. How can I best do that? So she can see, you know, what's going on with her in a way that she can objectively understand it instead of being caught in it in her head. And so at times I may give information. Information is not the same as giving solutions, and that's okay. I use a lot of closed questions to help clarify, but I think the main thing is that she feels safe with me, safe to share what's on her mind, what's going on with her, and that I'm just, you know, receiving what she's giving me and giving it back to her to see if we can't understand it better. That will help her to move forward. So sometimes in coaching, you know, your client just needs a sounding board to talk things through. I've had clients where I hardly say anything, but just ask a question every now and then and just clarify if that's what's helpful for them, so they can see new options. But in particularly when your client is circling, resisting, going down side roads and getting stuck in their thinking, which we all do, then it really is about coaching the person so they can, you know, see through that thing that's getting in their way. They need to discover what's blocking them so they can determine what's next. So I always say in this type of coaching, you're their thinking partner. You're not, that's why I say you're not doing it for them. You're helping them, again, this smart, this creative, resourceful person to think through what's getting in her way of getting what she wants. So we're gonna focus today on the reflective process because I think it's most misunderstood. And in the ICF competencies, it's one of my favorite is direct communication. And I think it's really misunderstood. It's not about challenging, although it may feel that way. It's not critiquing. It's not advising. It's not pushing. It's an interesting thing. The word direct has so many biases and misinterpretations. You know, I teach a lot in Asia and they're like, well, we're not direct. But it's not about, you know, getting in someone's face. It's just about, again, about sharing. It's really about reflecting what you see, what you hear, what you notice. And a lot of you know I teach a lot about how to open your heart and your gut. So it might be sharing what you're sensing. And you could be wrong. That's okay. If I'm wrong, I'm sure Aurora will tell me, and then she'll tell me what it really is for her. And that means we're going deeper. So it's the reflective process that I I really feel is so valuable. And I'd love for you to really notice what I'm noticing, how I share with her, receive what she's giving me and give it back to her. You know, some people say, but isn't that interpreting? Well, it is sometimes hard to not interpret what you're sensing. And like I said, that's in a sense, we don't want to push them into, no, I think you mean this, but you offer it. You know, I think this is what's going on. What do you think? And then let them tell you what it really is. So I will often use the words, I notice, I heard, I sense. Let me see if I've got it right. So this is what you're telling me. So you're going to hear me say that a lot. So again, I'd like you to, you know, listen for that. So what am I reflecting? I'm reflecting what I see, because I get a chance to see her, although most of my clients, and Aurora was my client years ago. I can't even remember, like, what? It was like 10 years ago or something.
Probably eight, yeah.
Eight years ago, right. But it was always on the phone. So mm-hmm. Getting to see you is a luxury. But you can still hear patterns in emotionally charged statements, shifts. The shift is always the key. If there's a shift in an emotion, there's something going on, and you want to be very curious about that. As best as you can, though, use their words. That will keep you from too much interpretation. Use their words and just share what you notice and try not to add in your opinion and your judgment. And if I do that, you can ding me on it. I'm really okay. So I'm really looking forward to the questions and answers. You know, see if I can answer your questions, see what you say, see what you saw. And what I do know is there's many different ways to coach. And you may take a different path and you may hear something differently. That's great. Please share that as well. Okay, so I'm going to turn my sharing off. And there we are.
Hello.
So are you okay, Aurora? Are you comfortable?
I am very comfortable. I think it's great to see so many people participating on this. So that exceeded what I was hoping, but I think it's exciting and I'm always happy to share, you know, what I'm going through. I love coaching. I think I have gained a lot from it over the years, including the time with you. So I truly appreciate it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much. I know watching all those people watching is an interesting
thing. I just wish I had done my hair a little bit.
I know, always. I spend a lot of time. So we did talk, and full disclosure, I did talk to Aurora briefly before this, just because I think it's important to, I wanted to see, is this a good example of coaching, what she brought? And so, you know, I know it's about relationships and some things going on, but that's all I know. So Aurora, if you could just share a little bit of what's most on your mind right now.
Mm-hmm. I would say two main things that are related. The first one is, as a female executive working in educational technology, where I need to work and engage a lot with millennials, because they are mainly working on the technology, obviously, for reasons that I don't have to state. You know, they are entering and they are in the labor market. They are in our companies, and I think they bring things that are different, different learning styles, different way of thinking. And when it comes in particular to men, my challenge is, how do you have difficult conversations with millennial men in particular? Simply, I'm kind of going to tell you what's more on my mind and without falling into the typical trap. But at the end of the day, I am an executive who needs to manage men, right? Men who are younger and who come with, you know, with a different culture. Obviously, I come with my own culture, but they also come with their own culture, their own way of thinking. I tend to connect well with them, but my challenge is more on
on how do you have those difficult conversations when you need to have them, because the relationship oftentimes tend to be more cordial, less bureaucratic. Organizations are more flat, and there is always the risk of crossing that line between, yes, you know, we are colleagues at work, but yet, you know, we still need to get things done. So how do you get to have difficult conversations? That's on the one hand, and to get them to act on things, right? And then on the other hand is, yep.
Okay. So, but you're about to tell me a second issue, correct?
Yes. Related. Okay. Let's go with that one.
Okay. So is that the one that's most important for you right now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah. So I hear that your problem is that you're facing these conversations with them that feel difficult to you.
Yes.
Okay. And yeah. So what is it, when you have these conversations with them, what's missing? What would you like to happen that's not happening now?
I think sometimes it goes into the accountability part of things and making sure that if we have a conversation that it ends in a result for which you're going to be accountable. Mm-hmm. And that if you want to get promoted, there are certain things that you need to do. And that you don't get a promotion that lightly. That's some, perhaps something that I'm also seeing a lot, right? Like this sense of entitlement. Mm-hmm. That clashes sometimes with my own experience of you need to earn what you got, which I think is probably more old school, right? But how do you mirror those? How do you get them to act on what it needs to happen without then abandoning it along the way because it becomes a little too hard, right? Or my opportunities are always great. I think the turnover is so important for us to retain mm-hmm. talent. And it seems that to keep them engaged over time is hard because the minute there is a difficulty, there is a better opportunity out there that I can just go after, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the turnover, it's important, it's hard, it's a business necessity. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. You know, how do you push them without pushing them away?
Okay. So, you know, I hear a couple of things. You said first off accountability. So, I'd like to hear what accountability is. It, you know, in my mind, that's, you know, that they do what they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. But you also mentioned that they have a different perception of what it takes to move up in the organization, which sounds like it's a little frustrating for you that they don't get it. So, and those are sort of, you know, accountability ties into that, mm-hmm. that they actually do things, but it's sort of different. So as you hear me say this, what do you think is really the most frustrating for you?
I think the most frustrating for me, when you put it like that, is the sense of entitlement that in some way I feel you haven't earned it yet and you're asking me for more. Whereas in my own view, you need to work a little bit more or you need to gain more experience or it doesn't happen that fast, right? And that is my own bias. And that is what I realize that I also bring because that has been my experience. And I have a hard time being objective as to whether there is a case because yes, you need to advance or no, you know, I think you're not ready yet. And how you make that decision for someone is hard because you're talking about people's okay. careers. And again, is that engagement is you don't want to give in all the time. Yeah. And you want them to buy in to the project, to the vision of what we are creating. Mm-hmm. And in my field in particular, which is so interesting for me, obviously, is creating educational materials where we have a direct impact on children or on adults. Mm-hmm. is something that I put so much of myself. And feel so passionate about that I want others to feel that same passion. And sometimes I don't get it, right? Or I don't get it to the extent that I wish. But that's not fair either, right?
Yeah. I want to acknowledge you for admitting that there's a values clash, you know, and that it could be your own bias. So thank you for that. I don't have to ask you. Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is a number of things that you would like for them to understand what it really takes to move up, to embrace that. I also hear your great passion for having people give their all to what you do, because what you do has a great impact. And so that sense that they're not doing that, you use the word entitlement a lot. So that's where we're going, is for them, you would like to have conversations where they fully embrace what it is they need to do in order to move forward, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what you define and what you see as entitlement.
What I see as entitlement, and oftentimes is, you have a task that you have to do. You know, we use project planning tools, so the tasks are clearly outlined. And you do it, but it's not done necessarily 100% correctly, right? Or it could be improved. Or sometimes in the work, sometimes you just change your mind, right? And the fact that you do it once and you feel entitled to being congratulated for finishing a task that might not have been well done is what I find that sense of entitlement. Like, completing a task doesn't mean you've done it correctly, or that it is the end, and there's always room for improvement. And in an agile world, we need to change things along the way. So sometimes it might be even my own unclear direction, which is sometimes what I try to think about, is what I wasn't clear exactly on what it was needed. But the sense of entitlement comes on, I already did it, I did it. But what is the quality of that work is what I put into question. And again, it goes back into maybe my standard, you know, what my standards are at this level, and, you know, and I then make it explicit or clear, you know, what the standards were. And that's where sometimes I think I could improve. Mm-hmm. But it does bother me at a basic level, that first initial reaction if I already did it. You know, you already did what you asked me to do.
Okay. So it's more about that they're not meeting the standard that you appreciate. Not that they want to be celebrated. I saw that you didn't like that.
It's a little bit of, but sometimes a little bit of both, right? Like, when I have reviews, they oftentimes say, you know, I want you to tell me I've done a good job. And the younger, I see this the most acute, right? Young adults just graduating from college and entering into entry-level positions. I see this a lot. They need this constant reinforcement that they are doing a good job. And I think it's fine to do that. I guess for me, going back to whether you want to call it values or something else, it's a bit much for me to constantly be telling someone you're doing a good job. Or sometimes I don't even feel you are, right? Or I think it's you're doing what you're supposed to do, right? So I think that is either, you know, a generational kind of thing. More so, as I say, when you go younger in millennials, you know, the 22, 23-year-olds coming into entry-level positions, where sometimes I, at that relation level, you know, it's a little challenging, right? I need to understand where they come from, and I need to motivate them. I sometimes feel it's a bit much, right?
Okay.
But that's my own personal.
I understand. And I a bit much. That's right. That's what I hear from you, that constant recognition, especially when you don't think they're living up to the expectations or the quality of the work. But let me ask you, if the person really was doing good work and living up to that, would it bother you?
No.
So it's really about the relationship of wanting recognition for work that is not what you expect.
It is not bad, but it's not something to be, you know, you didn't get an A, you know, you didn't get an A plus, you know, you're not on the honors roll just yet. You know, I think it's great. It's, you know, we pay you your salary to do that, right?
Okay.
But there is that expectation, I think, sometimes that, you know, I do everything great. I'm so good. you know, I need, you know, they need that more. Yeah, that pat in the shoulder. And I consider myself a very social person, very much in touch. You know, I have a lot of empathy for people, and I know where they are coming from. And this, this is my challenge, is how do I have that difficult conversation when I do have this empathy, where I do know where they are coming from, where I do know that they need that pat in the back to say, you are doing a good job. But I want to sound sincere, and at the same time, I want to say, but this is how we can improve it. This is how you can do it better. And I think I do well, but it is uncomfortable sometimes for me to continue, especially when it's like high level, high stress. You know, you're on the road, you know, you have 5 minutes at the airport before you get on another flight to, you know, to come down to that, right?
Okay. So let me share with you what I'm hearing, that it's there's sort of two issues. One is, do they understand, or why don't they perform to the level you want? But what I'm hearing really is your bigger frustration, because you've come back to it a number of times, is that, really? Do I have to do that? Do I have to, you know, give them that kudos when I really need to get to the point and say, ah, here's what's not happening. And yet I have to stop and do that. And I also hear a values conflict, because you are a caring person, right? And so this is, you know, a difficult thing for you to resolve. So can we, so for our time today, can we work on that? Just that, how can you work through that feeling of your frustration and with that needing to give them kudos when you really need to give them direction? Is that true?
Correct. True. Tough love.
Tough love. Okay, good. Okay, how can I deliver tough love?
Yes. So,
Chris, do you have something? Okay, Chris showed up.
Chris, you turned your video on. There you go. Okay.
Apologies.
That's okay. That's okay. Nice to see your face. All right. Thanks, Aurora. You know, I can see that it's a really frustrating thing, and you haven't had to deal with this all your career. There's been a shift. So tell me a little bit about this sense of requirement that you have to do this. You know, how is that getting in the way of what you feel you need to do to be their manager?
Well, I guess sometimes I feel that, so two things. Sometimes I give in, and sometimes I'm too tough. So, you know, So sometimes I feel that, you know, if they push, you know, at the end, it's like, okay, well, let's do this. And I find a compromise. That oftentimes, you know, it's more giving in to some things. And other times, which is the control part of me, especially in those stressful situations that I mentioned, is that, you know, you say, well, you know, this is what we got to do, right? And And I think I need to reach that middle point, right? When it's neither nor, and I think obviously it depends on people. We are talking here in very general terms. But as I am telling you these things, I can think of this one person, I can think of this one person, right? And the issues vary, you know, obviously depending on the person. Not everyone is the same. Mm-hmm. Nor do I intend to give the sense that everyone, you know, is the same. It's more because of the nature of the work that, you know, that I'm doing right now, where I have to be more in touch with, not more in touch, but obviously, you know, that you've built teams and you need more people working. So,
well, I hear that, that this is a deep concern for you because you really want to be the best manager you can be.
Yes, that's.
Yeah. And that finding that range with each person of where, you know, where it falls in terms of being too tough or being too lenient is hard. It's a difficult thing. My question is, you know, in terms of like their reaction to you, are you having a difficult time? What is their reaction to you these days in terms of engagement and retention?
Actually, it's pretty high. I would say most people want, actually it's very high. And I think there is that level of, because of that level of empathy, because I do believe from the bottom of my heart that if you're on my team, I want to do everything that I can so that you get promoted and that you get trained and that you can achieve whatever goals or dreams you have within the company or outside of the company, hopefully within the company. Mm-hmm. So I take that, you know, I take that care. So I think in terms of retention, if they leave, it could be for, you know, for other reasons, salary reasons, or sometimes they want to take another gap year or, you know, like a number of things or very quickly, you know, as I said, they find something else. I think it's more problematic, sometimes not so much with direct people on my team, but having to work cross-functionally when you have to engage with other people who might not be directly under you. Okay. And you still need to engage with them, right? And you cannot exercise perhaps that level of management, of guidance, of leadership, if you will, that, you know, that also I see them more leaving in that regard, not necessarily because of a direct correlation to me, I would say, but because of the environment. So I think managers tend to, I just observed, this is my observation, this clash between values, right, of managers and, you know, people that you're managing. Mm-hmm. I think it's natural, probably.
So this isn't a problem with your own direct reports?
With a few, yes, I would say not. So you, I was more responding on the retention part because then I wouldn't say they, you know, they always leave, but there is always that going back and forth. I'm not 100% happy. I'm thinking about leaving. Mm-hmm. Well, now I have to spend my time retaining you. And I do think they're great contributors to the team. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to, I need to make you feel loved and cared and that you are an important part of the team. And that lasts for 6 months and then we go back again. So for me, it is where I feel that maybe I'm not doing the ongoing support that they need in a mindful way, right? It's almost like peaks, right? And then there's a crisis and then I intervene and then it's fine. And then right?
Yeah. Okay, so I want to come back and just focus instead of the cross-functional, which is a different conversation. But so it's sounding to me, it's just a few of your direct reports that seem to be a little high maintenance and that you're struggling with finding the balance of being, you know, having them just do their work.
Right.
And constantly that bouncing back to, oh, now they're thinking of going and I have to pay more attention to them. Is that?
Yeah.
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 Okay. So how many? 2-3 people?
Can't think of probably more like 5.
Okay.
More like, yeah.
Is that more than usual? I mean, has this increased?
No.
So, in all the years you've been doing this, you've had difficulties. Yeah. Is it that much different now?
I see a difference with the younger kids, yes.
Okay.
Than with, you know, other people I've managed in the past.
If you were just to define in two sentences that difference that makes it difficult for you, what would that be?
I would say what makes it difficult for me is what it takes to push people to go the extra mile.
Okay. So would you say that's mm-hmm. what you're searching for with those people? Mm-hmm. So is this a matter of, tell me which is bigger, the problems with their behavior or your sense that you're not doing it right?
I think it's the sense that I am not doing it right to engage them at that level to go the extra mile. And this is obviously now what I'm going to tell you is as I have always done, right? this is where you reflect, my own expectation and my drive for doing things. And I know I cannot do that to other people, mm-hmm. obviously, but there is that subliminal message of what can I do so that they love it as much as I do, or so that they do it, in a way that that at the end of the day is good for the business, obviously.
So it comes back to your value is associated with your passion, and that you want them all to be as passionate as you. Is that true?
True. Maybe.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah, unrealistic. Unrealistic.
Well, tell me about that. Tell me what just happened there. What did you just realize?
Well, I realized that that a lot of who I am and what I do is driven by my passion, obviously by my ability, it goes without saying, but a lot of it, the fulfillment that I get from my job is because I feel passionate about it.
Yeah.
And that makes me give, 200%, I struggle with issues of family and work balance oftentimes, I should admit. But I also know that was my choice. It's not other people's choices, and they come to do a job for which, they are paid, and I just want them to feel that that empowered, right, to do it. So I think what just happened here is that you cannot teach passion, either you got it or you don't.
Very good. I love that. Yeah, that's true. Well, do you know the range of passion that's acceptable for you?
I don't know. Well, I think also depends on the role, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of thinking about it, but I think there are passionate people who do things that I have like no passion for, whatsoever, but yet you can see how they feel about it.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who maybe I can relate more from a job function that I see don't have that passion. Right.
It's more about that. Right. So do you feel that their passion then has the great impact on the results?
I think so.
Okay. So I'm wondering how much you separate that. Because you're talking about tough love, and I just want to check in. So tough love is being very clear about what needs to be done and when it's not being done, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have the same definition. We're really showing a passion and that not expecting you to always give them things and acknowledge them and all that other stuff, the emotional stuff that they might need, that you would really just prefer them to be passionate about their work. It's sort of different, but yeah, I hear it overlaps. But what is the thing that really, really, really then gets under your skin?
I'd say, I think I'll go back to the quality of the output, of the outcome. Because that's what I can measure more objectively.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question about that. You've shared with me that what you recognize, people are going to come with different levels of passion, and they're not going to all have the same as you. Is there a way that you can separate your judgment and bias, which you said you had at the beginning, that, and only focus on the results? Is that something that is possible?
I think, is it possible to separate them? You got to separate them because that's where you have goals and objectives and, you know, and how you measure people. So I think you need to measure people by the outcomes of what they do. And I strongly believe that. Mm-hmm. I think to separate that out with the attitude towards work, right? That's hard to measure, and therefore I don't think it should be something that is used against anybody for any reason. But for me, it does, obviously, right? If you have to build a team, like what kind of people you want on a team, what kind of people you need on a team, you know, that's something that you cannot measure, and yet it will make or break a team, I think.
Well, I want to acknowledge you that, you know, choosing might help you not have to deal with that problem, the hiring and choosing on your team, although it'll probably show up. Mm-hmm. You can't always know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's hard when you hire someone at the beginning to do.
Let's go back to the conversation. So I just want to hear, because we're, you know, want to come to a point of wrapping this up. You just shared with me about separating and, you know, and it's hard, but you need to do that. What would it take for you to be able just to have this conversation and separate yourself from your frustration for them not having the passion that you have?
I think probably having a deeper understanding of what their values are. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of reading about, you know, what like native, digital natives bring, what millennials bring, what, so I read, I try to inform myself to, you know, to better understand it. Mm-hmm. But I actually, you know, come to think of it, I don't think I have ever actually like sat down and do a comparison between this is where I think, this is where I think the, you know, these are my values, these are their values. And, you know, let's do a little shake up of, you know, of what a conversation. And, you know, and part of this, this just kind of occurred to me, is that I always feel, I just thought of this actually kind of a breakthrough. I always feel like I am the one who needs to give. But quite frankly, they should also put themselves in my shoes, right? you know, I don't know why I never thought of that, but I think having a conversation so that they understand where I'm coming from my value system, is something I have never done, right? It's always me trying to understand, you know, they are my team, they're my responsibility. I need to make them perform. It is my job, right, to make sure they stay, that they're happy, that they do. But I suppose maybe that there is a two-way street, and there is a concept called managing up too, I guess.
Well, what I hear you saying is that you would like to share with them, teach them a little about you, your values, you know, what you, your beliefs, just so they understand you better. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I don't think I've ever done that, actually, like that explicitly.
Yeah. Well, I hear it ties into the kind of concept of what leaders are supposed to do, but why not? Why not do that? Yeah.
Well, it almost shows like you're vulnerable, right?
Ah, so are you willing to be vulnerable with them?
A little bit, right? A little bit, it shows your vulnerabilities. And I think that's probably part of it, if I think about it.
Okay, so are you willing to be a little vulnerable with them and share that with?
Yeah. I think I am.
Okay.
I think I am. I just never really thought about it that way, to be honest with you.
That's fascinating. No, I honor that you're willing to do that, and also then what conversations you might have with them and how it relates to their values. You know, you're taking this a deeper level. So I think that's a great part of leadership, and I honor your courage for wanting to do that. So you say you want to do it. So when do you think you might have these conversations?
I think probably as soon as next week. I have a deadline September 3rd.
Excellent.
So as soon as I meet my deadline.
Okay.
Focused on that.
Okay. So you'll schedule some conversation. So you're good. Is there anything that you need? Anything that could get in the way?
No, I really just, I'm like a little bit dumbfounded that I never thought about telling them where I was, where I was coming from at that values level, right? It's much easier to have a conversation at a, you know, you need to do X, Y, or C. This is the project plan. These are the objectives. These are the priorities. You know, like we've talked about this. And so I tend to have more, you know, a little bit of those conversations, or where do you want to go in your career? And let me help you get there, as opposed to this is where necessarily where I'm coming from. So
that's okay. You know, sometimes we narrow our definition of leadership and don't recognize, you know, that these human conversations are a part of leadership too.
They're very true. Very true.
Right. Are we good? Do we have closure?
I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And please stay on the line. They may have some questions.
Okay.
You know,
should I shut off the video as well?
You guys are okay. Did you have any other slides that you wanted to go through, or did you want to break
it
down?
I have a wrap-up slide, but I can put it on at the end.
Okay. All right. So let's take a few questions now, if you're good for that. Yeah. And then we're going to go through a little bit of an information, and then we'll come back and take some additional questions. So we had lots of, thank yous for this. It's a brave thing to coach in front of all of these people. So thank you both for doing this and providing this learning opportunity. So there were lots of comments and questions. Let's see. A couple of folks are asking about GROW. Marcia, did you want to say anything about that? The GROW model?
You know, the GROW model, I believe that the power of the GROW model is GR. You know, it's like, where are we going? And I hope you saw that I drill down to determine where it is we're really going. That the problem they bring is not the desired outcome. And generally what she really wants to resolve is not going to show up right away. So we spend a lot of time, but then I have to check in on, you know, her views, her assumptions, I notice her emotions. So it's a back and forth. It's not a linear process. It's goal, reality, goal, reality, goal, reality, goal, reality, which to me, if you do that, the options are going to appear and then you wrap it up. That's, you know, just the obvious. I'm not going to ask her what else. Usually if she has a breakthrough moment, she knows what it is she needs to do next. I trust that if she has a new perception, she's again, creative, resourceful and whole. You know, she knew, you could see it in her face that she knew exactly. Now it still may be a little resistance, and I'll ask about that and what else she needs. But in the GROW model, it's goal, reality. Yeah.
Okay, question for Aurora. Patrick's asking, what was the moment or the question that sparked your learning more?
Today, I think the question about my values, which we always know as leaders, we know they're really important. You set the tone for everything, and you try to make them clear, but you know, there are some values on how you want to run a business, and then there are some values that are more personal, and you need to separate those out, right? There are some values on how you to conduct your business in, you know, ethical manners, et cetera, et cetera. And then there are your own personal values about the passion. And that's something you interview someone, you have passion for what you do. I mean, what is the answer to that, right? So I think separating out the values part with the passion, where they intersect, if at all.
It was
probably what started getting me to think that I sometimes maybe combine the two and I don't really separate them out.
Very good. Thank you. And I just want to say that if you noticed at the very beginning, I acknowledged Aurora for her commitment to being the best leader she can be. And as we kept going through this, I kept hearing her, there's things that she needs to do as a leader, you know, measure performance, checking in on their career. I mean, there's checklist things. And I think, you know, when you said, wow, I never thought about having this conversation, you were shocked, but I wasn't shocked because it's not necessarily on the leadership list to sit down and talk about, you know, so here's my values and I'm sure they show up in our conversation. Which allows them to be vulnerable with you back to maybe share what's important to them. And it's not, and so I think that's your, thank you, Aurora, for saying that, that trying to see that they could blend was just, that's what was missing in that conversation. So thank you.
Yeah, no, and if I can add a little bit to that, I think sometimes is having the license, just thinking about it, you know, having the license to combine the two, because you want to be obviously corporate and you want to do things by the book and right. But having the license a little bit to combine, you know, your own, it's probably also important.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. And you know, that's so powerful for coaching, that that's often what we do in coaching, is just give people permission to do these things. They just weren't sure, which just is such a powerful thing. You know, sometimes I always say in coaching, it's often the simple things that are the most powerful. And just people just don't recognize it. And just going through that, not thinking things through, not having to analyze, you know, to me, you know, thinking is the enemy of the coach. Just be present and give back and help the person see what they weren't seeing before. So thank you. Great. Yeah. Okay. Another question?
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. So we have a lot of questions coming through. Keep putting your questions in the Q&A box. I just want to share a little bit of information with you, and then I'm going to come back to the questions. So amazing session again. Thank you so much. I know that a lot of you have already joined the full summit. So I want to remind you that we're going to be starting in exactly 2 weeks on Thursday, September 6th with Whitney Johnson. We're also going to be featuring Marcia Reynolds along with 48 other thought leaders throughout the summit. So each Thursday, you're going to have access to two and sometimes three sessions. These are 90-minute sessions, and they're offered at different times throughout the day to make it easy for a majority of people around the globe to participate. And then, of course, if you are an executive speed learner pass holder or an enhanced pass holder, you will have access to the recording. So if you can't make a session, you'll be able to access the recording, including all of these amazing live coaching demonstrations. The sessions are followed by implementation mastery sessions, and that happens the week after the live session. So it gives you time to consume the information, really digest it, and then come together with your peers from around the world and have a discussion in these intimate group settings. So it's a really cool opportunity. So you get to actually figure out, what will I do with this? It's great to hear it, but what are you going to do with it? How are you going to use it to make yourself a better person, make your practice stronger, help your clients? And so that's what those implementation mastery sessions are meant to do. And again, if you can't make a session, Enhance and Executive Speed Learner pass holders are going to have the recording available on the member site. And you also get over 200 CCEUs. So for those of you who are interested in getting continuing education credits throughout the summit, you have the opportunity to get over 200 of them. And you can reach out at any time to support@wbex.com. Chris can pop that email address into the chat box for you. And for those of you who haven't joined yet, for a very limited time, we are offering the full summit passes at the early bird pricing, which is going to save you over $700 a ticket. If you enroll at the Executive Speed Learner or Enhanced levels, you're going to get the recordings from the live demos and from today and all of the live demos. And those who purchase the Executive Speed Learner pass will also get access to download these items. You'll get access to the slides, to the notes, to the transcripts for all of our full summit sessions and pre-summit ones as well. So if anybody in your network or you yourself are interested in this year-long learning experience and you want to join us, you can get your discounted ticket by clicking on the link that we're putting into the chat box for you now. So you'll see that Chris put a link in the chat box and it ends with passes. That link will show you all of your options for the full summit passes. And then finally, I just want to let you know that the reason we created these live coaching demos that you're watching right now is out of a request from our coaches, from our amazing coach community. So we listen. We have focus groups regularly. We just see what is it that you would most like to have, and then we provide it for you. So that's where these live coaching demonstrations came from. And so that we can continue to provide you with services you love, we're going to ask you to please take a second or two to fill out this quick poll. I'm going to launch it now. You should see it up on your screen. And if for any reason you don't see the poll or you can't access it, just go ahead and let Chris know in the Q&A box, and he'll give you an alternate link that you can use. So I'm going to leave this poll up for the remainder of the session, and I'm also going to hang out 3 minutes past the session just to make sure that you have an opportunity to put your answers in. As I said, this is incredibly important information for us. We really value your feedback.
Okay. And, you know, while you're doing that, I just want to state, you know, there's always that question, well, why couldn't you just say that right up front about your values and blah, blah, blah. But those of you who had been in sessions with me, you know, I've been studying behavioral change for decades, 3 decades now. And, you know, there's such a difference between, you know, telling someone, well, I think it's this, what do you think, then helping them to reveal it and discover it for themselves, that there's a great impact on them. But I also know that when you start to recognize something that you think you should have known, that there's a little discomfort in that moment of realization. So I just want to check in before we go to any more questions. I just want to check in with Aurora. I think that was a great realization for you. And I just want to make sure you're okay right now, that you're, because again, you did this in front of all these people.
No, I'm totally fine. I'm totally fine. And you know, I think this is part of learning about yourself and, you know, and learning how to live, you know, how to live and work in a very dynamic environment with others. So I almost feel like how did I not think about it before? Given everything that you've read about it.
I know. I have a coach, when I call her and I'll like blah, 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 blah. And then she'll ask me one question and I'll go.
Yeah, it's like, I should have thought about that before.
But that to me is the power of coaching, you know, of the reflective inquiry process. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And, you know, and if I can help in any other way, answering other questions or contributing, more than happy to. So.
Okay. Well, you know, actually, yeah, let's see what other questions we have.
Absolutely. So let's see. We've got, so Pat is saying, first, I appreciate Aurora and Marsha's willingness to share the session. I'm a new student to coaching and I found this coaching session a revelation. I noticed that there was a contract made well into the session. Did I notice correctly?
A contract on where we were going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you track back to the ICF competencies, you even more than the GROW model, you'll probably see, you could probably check off what I was doing. hopefully it's embedded in me enough it doesn't look like that, but you have to know where you're going, and there has to be an agreement on the destination and what is the thing that you want to create. If you don't have that, you're going to end up chasing your client all over the place, you know, because they'll go here, they'll go here, they'll go here. And we could have done that easily. So that I keep drilling to, it sounds like this is what's most important, but you brought up this, is it this? You know, so are we in agreement that this is what you want to work on? And she could say no, but we really have to know what is that desired outcome that we're trying to reach. And that will shift too, you know, because that may go deeper, you know, as you peel the onion to what is it she really wants that's not happening now. So yes, that agreement, that contract is critical to having a successful session in a decent amount of time. So thank you for noticing that. You know, and I hope this demonstrates again to this, you know, that stereotype around the ICF competencies as if it's this checklist thing that restricts you. It's not. They're just things that are really critical to have this process be successful.
Wonderful. Thank you for that clarification. So we've had quite a few people mention in various forms or fashions that at one point Aurora was about to mention a second issue and you kind of...
I cut her off.
Yeah. And so they're like, what is going on? You're freaking them out. Can you talk about that and explain?
Yeah, absolutely. If I had a longer time, I probably would have gone into that. And again, full disclosure, I said to you all that I briefly talked to her before and she had stated this. And the level of emotion she has around it, it was like, okay, this is a really powerful thing. But I did say you had two. Do you want to go into the second one? And she said no. And it was very abrupt. That's like, no, this is it. So, you know, had she have said, I don't know, I guess this one, I would have said, then let's talk about the second one and see what that is. So I'm constantly monitoring her emotional responses to the things that I ask and what I do throughout the session. And that's what I saw. Was it wrong? In some cases, yeah. You know, probably, like I said, if we had more time, I would have heard that. But I would bet 90% at least that there was so much in that, in her description of that, that was a powerful thing she wanted to work through. So did I make the choice for her? Yeah. I'd probably be dinged on the ICF competencies. Yeah, I didn't make an invitation outrightly, but I did invite, you know, is this really the thing you want to work on, or do you want to explore the second one? And she said no. So
thank you for that. Yeah, mm-hmm. There were quite a few. So yeah. Catherine is saying, such a powerful example of coaching in alignment with the ICF competencies. Wow. Mm-hmm. And such so much evidence of setting the foundation, creating awareness, and much, much more. So thanks for that. A lot of thanks coming through, a lot of appreciation again for the willingness to share these moments with us. So thank you for that. Martin's saying, how do you measure the results of the agreement?
I'm not sure of the question. So the results of the agreement, meaning, do you think we achieved her outcome?
So Martin, if you want to clarify, just go ahead and pop it in the Q&A. I know that it came through at the moment that we were talking about the contract, so it may tie back to that.
Well, a thing I did not do, which is a good practice, is to just go back and ask her. So is this what will help you have those difficult conversations? So no, I did not confirm that she actually got that. So you're absolutely right. And that's a good practice to do, just to make sure. So, you know, you had said that what you had wanted was to be able to have these direct and difficult conversations with these people in a way that would be effective for them. So I should have asked, you know, so is this the thing that's going to really help you have those conversations? So you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, in going through this, and again, because we kept drilling down that outcome to, it really was about her dealing with them not demonstrating the level of passion. And then she started really thinking about, what am I expecting? How would they know? You know, that she went in all those places, that my sense was that we had gotten there. So no, did I do an explicit measurement of that? No, I did not. I'll ask Aurora. So do you feel that what occurred here will help you with what you initially laid out?
Yes, absolutely. And more importantly, I think it's being aware of what the issue is and being able to articulate it in some concrete ways.
Yeah.
I appreciate it every time you ask me, but what is really, really bothering you, right? Is it the performance? Is it this, right? What is it? So really to get to that level, to analyze it and to take the time to do it, because sometimes as managers or as leaders, you just don't take the time to go deeper or to take that moment, that hour. I mean, at the end of the day, it took me an hour, right, to kind of have this conversation. In that regard, I do think it was accomplished.
It was actually only about a half hour, so.
Half hour. Even better.
See, it doesn't take, no. But that's what leaders always say to me. I don't have time for that.
I know.
And I'm like, really?
Guilty.
It's about, no, can you be present and not distracted? And,
yes.
And I also want to acknowledge, I know I had stuff going on behind me. So to the viewers, I hope that didn't distract you. I didn't let it distract me. So and that's life, right?
Absolutely. And thank you for that.
Yeah.
So let's see. Matt, question for Marcia. Can you talk about how you coach the person versus the problem?
Yeah, well, come to my full summit session. So, if you sign up for that and you get the recording, that was what my pre-summit session on. Do you notice that I did not talk that much about them and what they bring and why they might do this? I focused on Aurora and, what was most bothering her? What were the judgments and biases she was holding that was making this difficult for her? So my questions were here, and that I noticed also and fed back to her when I noticed that deeper frustration. And I acknowledged her courage for sharing that. So I coached Aurora even more so than any specific difficult conversation. I didn't even say, so give me an example. I wanted to really look at her. What's getting in her way? This, I know she's a really smart, dedicated person and she wants to be a good leader. So what's making her think she's not? Was really my focus. And that's the person, not the problem.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So Kelly is raising a question, and we kind of touched on this already, but it's something that a couple of other people raised as well. Mm-hmm. She said, you uncovered values conflict when you said, can we work on this today? And then, is this considered leading? How do you know when to take the reins like that?
Well, I asked her, is this what it is? And she said, yes. So I'm not sure. You can call me out on this, but I really believe that most of what I shared with her are what she shared with me.
Mm-hmm.
I did not go beyond that. So she used those words, passion. Sometimes I might just use one word to summarize a bunch.
Right.
You know, and her reaction when I do that was, yeah. And if it wasn't, then I would say, okay, I'm wrong on that. So tell me more. That's what I said, and I know you probably noticed that I use an enormous amount of closed questions compared to what most people do. I'm clarifying, I'm drilling down to, what is it really we're working on today? You know, is it this? Is it this? Am I hearing you correctly? Is this the thing? I can see in your face that that's the moment that you get triggered in these conversations. So is that what it is we need to work on? So I don't think I was leading her in the sense of I'm trying to understand, you know, what's her block? To me, in setting the agreement, you know, there's the understanding where we're going. But once we get that, I need to know what's stopping her. And again, I come back to the ICF definition of coaching that, you know, we are in partnership, but with a creative, resourceful, and whole person. And so I want just to help her to see what's getting in her way of doing, feeling good about what she's doing. So I get the here. I got why this is important to her, but what needs to be resolved? You know, is then where I start to dig what really needs to be resolved here so you can feel like you're doing your best. So so I spend a lot of time here and I don't see that as, you know, focusing on the problem. I'm focusing on the block, you know, the blind spot, the block that's getting in the way of them seeing, which will lead to that awareness. Once they see it, they know what they need to do and they bring it to the table. It's like, oh my God, look at that. It's exactly what she did. And she said it a number of times. I should have known that. But it was a block. It was a blind spot. If I can just uncover that, she's smart enough to know what to do. So that's what I search for in my coaching. You know, getting to what is that? Can we look at that? And remove the veil over that so you can see what's next for you.
Mm-hmm. Nice, thank you. So we get this question a lot too, and it's come up a number of times. People are like, I notice you're not writing anything down. How come you're not writing anything down? What are you doing? How do you keep it all straight if you're not writing it down?
So if any of you have ever taught with me, you've seen me walk over to someone and take away their paper. So occasionally if I'm coaching, if there's a big key moment that I don't want to interrupt the person, I might write a note. But while I'm writing, I'm not present. And I want to share, did we go back to this?
It's coming up, it's not there yet. There we go.
Okay. I believe the key to coaching is being present with the client, and that once you get the skill down, mastery is the deepening of presence. And I want to be fully present with my client so I can pick up, not just with my head, usually I'm not thinking about anything, but with my heart and with my gut, to really receive what she's sharing with me so I can give it back to her. And so for me, writing disrupts presence. I understand at the beginning in learning, often my students will, you know, take notes, but please don't be transcribing this session. You don't need to do that. I hope that you will come to the point where you can trust that you're going to get the key elements. And you noticed I came back to her passion. After a while, I came back to that word because I keyed in my head. Okay, there's a key word. She's got a lot of energy around passion. So I just, gook, I can remember that. I can trust that. And that really was the key word. So trust that you pick it up and know that at some point you won't need to take notes. So
thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So Aurora, what was your biggest aha moment in all of this? A couple people are asking.
Wow, that's a big question. I think probably the biggest one was around the passion. And the other one is something that Marcia said later, which is, how do you separate out what you know you need to do as a leader and to use as a check mark? Mm-hmm. Because you know, these are all the things you need to do. This is, you know, this is the goal, the objective. This is where we are going with these things versus the non-tangible, if you will, the non-tangible part of becoming a leader. And I think I am pretty good. And I think I do many things right as well. But there is that, that point, as I said, of having that relationship, that closeness, that empathy with, and I was just looking at some of the Q&A also with younger, at the end of the day, it's a generational issue. And how do you relate to them and do it? I think it's important. So realizing that that is also that generational issue, and as I said, that you need to go there is a two-way street is something that Marcia kind of helped me realize. That was kind of my aha moment. It's like, you know what, like they also need to know where I'm coming from. We're in this together. It's just not me offering.
Yeah, I want to acknowledge you for that, that what I'm hearing in this is that it's not even as much, oh God, they always need pats on the back, but they need to have a more human conversation. Mm-hmm. Which is an interesting thing, whether it's generational or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Interesting. Also interesting, and we can get into this another time, that, is that now showing up at the generation more with men than in the past? So what an interesting conversation we can get into about, the evolving concept of leadership. So good. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. And someone asked earlier about the demonstration this afternoon and if it would be the same. So absolutely not. It's going to be a completely different demonstration, and it's actually going to be with someone who Marcia has never coached before. Is that correct?
Never met. Yeah.
Never met, never coached. So you get to see what happens the very first time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That'll be interesting for me too. So
nice.
And she'll be from New Zealand, so we get lots of different accents today.
Very cool. So those of you saying the pole is in the way, you can move the pole. You have the power to move the pole. And I'm just leaving it there so that you can get your answers in. And let's see. So Marcia, Lori's asking, how would you build on the insights from this session at the next coaching session? Do you feel a need to hold the client accountable? So following through.
Ah, interesting. I was thinking... the thing is that I'm very careful about saying, what can I do for you? What do you need from me? I asked her, is there anything else she needs? Any resources, any support? She gave me a date. She said no. If this was an ongoing coaching, absolutely, I would start there and just say, hey, how are your conversations going? So there's continuity in the coaching. And especially... probably in our coaching contract, the actual contract, not in the session, we would have some coaching goals around her leadership and her relationships. So we can track back to the overarching coaching goals as well. So yes, I would have continuity in the next one, but be very careful about offering yourself as being the accountability. So would you like me to email you, or you want to call me the day before? Do not do that. Unless the person, that's a very frightening thing just a little nudge or a little, I'm here would be important. But I've seen too many coaches say, how can I help you do this? Don't do that. If the person doesn't do what they say over time, then that's a coaching issue as well. And we can look at, so what stopped you from doing what you said you were going to do? And that would be my question. So good question. And it would come into the next conversation.
Awesome. And so a couple of people are asking, how can they join this session tonight? Some people weren't aware. Chris, if you could pop the link in to let people know where they can register for tonight's session and join us for the second demonstration today, that would be amazing. So Pamela's asking, do you take notes after the session so that you can recall points for follow-up?
You love those notes, don't you? I occasionally do, I know where we're at, because I'm just like all of you. I'm so busy and I travel, and I kind of want to know just a couple key points. Again, just, what did she agree to? I might write that down. But let me also say this, especially for those of you in the United States, early on in coaching, and I have to say it was the early 2000s, that we got into a difficult legal situation. The person was leaving her company and was suing them, and then they subpoenaed all of our coaching notes. Okay, and because of our profession, we're not licensed and regulated, we had to give it, you know, it was a big fight, and actually the ICF helped us with that fight, but we're liable in a legal situation of sharing our notes, and so it's like, forget it, I'm not taking notes, you know, so I'm very careful. I have overarching goals, I have goals of the session and actions, and that's it.
Very cool. So Lori is asking a question that gets asked all the time. I think practically on every WBEC session I've ever hosted, this question comes up. Coaching live versus coaching on video versus phone coaching, and go.
Yeah. You know, I was trained back when I joined coaching, back in the 1900s, there were only two coaching schools. I was Coach U, and it was all on the phone. And I had a question, because all my work, I had run training departments, had been working corporate for years. How can you do this by phone? And I found that I could truly key in almost better by phone, that the bringing in of Zoom and all the platforms, Skype, is a new thing. Now it gives me a better sense of watching her and to see the emotional shifts. But if all I hear is audio, I can feel that emotional shift as well. So I don't think that it has to be face-to-face, but sometimes clients will say I have to have that, and they may not end up being my client because I can't do it. I only have one company here in town that I will coach with them. Otherwise it's like, I don't want to bother getting up and doing my hair and going and coaching them. You know, I had to do my hair for this, but it's not required. But it'll be your preference as well as your client's preference.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Do you always finish a session with a concrete action? That question is from Camilla.
You know, sometimes because if it's a huge awareness, I've had clients say, boy, I have to go think about this. And that may be enough, but I might even say, what does that look like? So you don't lose it, how will you commit to spending some time with this? So I still am asking them to commit to something, it's not necessarily a concrete action in that sense. So it depends on what happens in that moment and where they're at. I had one client where he said, I cannot answer you right now. I truly have to think about this. I'll call you back in a couple of days and let you know. And he did. And he completely made a turn around in his decision making. He was going to sell his company. And he said, I've decided, you know, you're so right. You made me realize that I don't want to sell my company. It's my family and I love it. And I'm not going to do that. And I don't need your coaching anymore. And I was good with it, you know, because I saw he was sabotaging himself and I needed him to sit with this. And so that was it. It was just sitting with it. And what was coming through that was so critical for him.
Thanks. So we have a couple of questions. So we asked earlier Aurora what was her aha moment. Mm-hmm. So Violetta is asking, Marcia, what was your light bulb moment as a coach in this session with Aurora?
It's hard for me to go back. I think for me that when that continual describing of what it is she thinks she needs to do as a leader and how that was blocking this other thing that, I wanted to say, so do you ever ask them, you know, what their values are or, what would make this passionate for you? You know, I wanted to do that. And it was like, no, you know, I always, no, don't do that. Don't get in the way of her process. You know, and so to see, is there a way we can go with this journey to blend that thing that's irritating her the most with what it is she needs to do? So I think that was, you know, I wasn't sure that's what it was. You know, it could have been at the beginning just her judgment of the behavior of Millennium N, but that really wasn't it. So.
Okay. And we had, I think, a couple more questions we can squeak in here. Jim is asking, how did you learn to trust your intuition during a coaching session?
These are tough questions. You know, I'm going to go back to this, that I've done, I continually actually do a lot of research around what is presence? How do we get there? And what I recognized was presence is really intuition. That, again, going back to, can I, before the session, I grounded myself, cleared my mind, I recalled something that makes me feel gratitude, which opens my heart, and I said, okay, release the fact that thousands of people are going to be watching you, and you have to do a good job. Just be able to really love my client and be present in this moment. So when I ground myself and open up my nervous system, my head, my heart, and my gut, it allows me access to whatever it is I'm receiving, which I believe is intuition. How did I learn that? It just became up through my research that this is how we deepen presence. So a lot of my work in reading and writing, my blogs and all of that is about how can I be more present and really hear what it is that they're giving me so I can feed it back. I see this as a loop. I receive, I give back. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nidhi's asking, do you ever get to a point in a coaching conversation when you don't know what to say or do next? And if you do, what happens? What do you do with that?
I just stop and summarize or share what they just said. You know, it's an interesting thing. I know when I started coaching, there was more of that type of thing. Like, where do I go with this? But that's because I got stuck in my head. And I'm trying to think it through and trying what competency comes next. And what was that great question that I saw that coach ask? And that will make you forget. And that will stop you from knowing what to say. I'm just being curious and hearing and feeding back to her and trying to discern. I use distinctions. Is it this or is it this? You know, I'm hearing this. What is it for you? And if I continue to do that, I'm not, you know, I don't necessarily get stuck. But if I feel we're both stuck, I'll say, so, you know, what's really happening here? I feel that, you know, we've hit this block, you know, and I'm feeling you've gotten there too. So is that what you're feeling? Tell me about that. So I'll just ask them about it.
Very nice. So Aurora, we'll wrap with a question for you.
Right.
You're a business executive, super busy. How did you come to coaching and how did you find Marcia?
That's an excellent question. Well, I was some years ago on a leadership track at the company I was working for. And they provided support on coaching. So I got the great privilege of choosing a coach. So one of my criteria was that I wanted a female coach. Also at that time, I had less experience working as an executive than I do now. And the challenges as a young female executive, or usually now with experience, you always know a little better. So one of my criteria was that. And then that's how I, you know, Marcia was one of the coaches that they offered. And, you know, and just I talked to her and I really enjoyed my initial conversation with her. And then we ended up working together, I want to say 6 months. Yeah, or nine, right? I think it was something like six or
I think it stretched to nine just because of busy travel schedules and all of that.
Yeah.
It was a certain amount of sessions. And Yeah, it was a program actually, you know, contracted with the company. So yeah, it was a great opportunity. So yeah, thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for sharing everything today. You guys are amazing. We so appreciate you both taking time out of your day to let us be flies on the wall and to learn from the interaction between you. So thank you so much for that. Super excited to see the session this evening. You are all welcome to join us. Chris did post in the chat box a link. So if you haven't already registered and you want to, you can. So go ahead and click on that link. Also, I'm getting lots and lots of questions in here about, can I get the recording? Can I get the slides? So the way to get the slides and the recording is to join the full summit. And if you have an executive speed learner pass or an enhanced pass, you will have access to the recording. If you have an executive speed learner pass, you get the whole shebang. So you get audio recording, video recording, you get the ability to download those things, you get the notes, you get the transcripts, you get the slides. So it's really the complete package. It's the one that I always picked when I was purchasing the summit for myself as a coach. So I think it's nice to have lots of different ways that you can interact. And if you miss a session, you don't have to worry, you know that you've got it covered. If you're a visual learner, you can just go grab the transcript, give it a quick read and decide, is this the one I want to watch? And if I want to watch, do I want to watch the whole thing or I just want to watch part of it? So it just gives you lots of options. Again, I'm going to leave the session open for the next few minutes. What were you saying, Marsha?
I was just going to say, and I'm going to do another demo even in my full summit session in November. So I hope you're there.
Very cool. So you have lots of opportunity to witness Marsha in action. And again, you're welcome to join us for the second session today. Ladies, you are welcome to say your goodbyes and drop off. Chris and I are going to stay back and answer any logistical questions that people have. And so thank you.
Bye. All right. Thank you.
See you later.
Bye, guys.
So guys, as I said, the poll is still open. So you're welcome to finish that poll for us. I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to do that. And if you do have any logistical questions for Chris and I, go ahead and pop them into the Q&A box and we will get you started. Oh, one thing I want to tell you, and Chris, can you please pop this into the chat box? If you want to speak to somebody about the full summit, you can do that. We have a phone number that you can call. It is a US number. So you will have to do the plus one. Chris is going to pop it into the chat for you. If you call that number and you don't get an immediate answer, please leave a message. There are many of you, there are a few of us. So do leave a message. We will absolutely positively call you back. Okay, so it's in the chat box for you. And so let's see what questions you have. If the poll isn't working for you, Chris can give you a link to an alternate. So let's see. Awesome. Oh, Catherine, we can see you. Thanks. I missed the session. Can I see it again? Sarah, you can see the session. If you have an executive speed learner pass or an enhanced full summit pass, you can absolutely see the sessions again. Not only this one, but all of the live coaching demonstrations, all of the pre-summit sessions, and all of the full summit sessions. I'm just scanning through to see if there's any questions that you guys have for us. Thank you for all the love. The session tonight is at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and it is with a different client. From Mexico, you can participate online, just like everyone else. That's the beauty of the summit. It's completely online, so all you need is an internet connection, and you are good to go. If you missed any part of the session, again, you can access online as long as you're a full summit pass holder and you have an executive speed learner pass or an enhanced pass. The recordings are typically available, all of the resources are typically available within 48 hours and they'll be posted to the membership area. Thank you, Linda. And Dulce, if you want to come to the session this evening, it is open to everyone and the link to join is in the chat box. And Chris, if you just want to pop it in there one more time so folks can see it, that would be super helpful. So in the chat box, folks, you've got a number of different links. You've got the support@wbex.com if you want to reach out to us for any reason at all. You've got our phone number if you want to speak to somebody and ask your questions. Again, if you call that number and it is you get the voicemail, please do leave a message. We will absolutely call you back. You've got the link that ends with passes. And if you click on that link, you can see all of your options for joining us for the full summit, the different ticket levels. And again, to have access to recordings, you're going to want to make sure that you join us at the Executive Speed Learner or the Enhanced Package levels. Those are the only ones that are going to have access to the recordings. If you want access to slides and notes and transcripts, you're going to want to join us at the Executive Speed Learner level. Let's see. You have access when you join us for the summit, you'll have access to the recordings throughout the summit for the entire length of the time of the summit. Just seeing if there's any other questions. How do we claim the CCEUs? Chris is going to pop something into the chat box for you that explains all about CCEUs. So how many there are, what they are. We have different types that we offer based on what the ICF has granted. Sometimes they're core competencies, sometimes they're resource development. If you want to get the core competency credits, the ICF requires you to attend live. That's not our rule, it's the ICF rule. If you do not attend live and you only attend the recording, then the nature of the CCEUs change from core competency to resource development. And so Chris is going to pop into the chat box for you links that outline exactly what credits you get for each session and how to claim, if you're a full summit pass holder, how to claim your CCEUs. If you can't attend a session live, you're welcome to attend it via the recording. And again, you have those options if you're a full summit pass holder at the Executive Speed Learner or Enhanced levels. And Yvonne, we will just double check that you're there. And if not, we'll reach out. We'll make sure that you're sorted. So anytime you have any issues at all, you're welcome to reach out to us at support@wbex.com and we will get you sorted. Yes, CCEUs are available for this session if you're a full summit pass holder. And you can see again, all of the information for CCEUs that is posted into the chat box. Mary, you have to be a full summit pass holder to obtain the CCEUs for the sessions. That's correct. Thank you, Linda. You're very sweet. And so I'm not seeing any additional questions coming through. I think we have 100% for the poll. Thank you, everybody. One more. Let's see. So Lori, yes, they're available for the entire duration of the summit. And then the next summit will start. So with that, we are going to wrap it up for today. Hopefully we'll see you on the session this afternoon. We look forward to seeing you on upcoming sessions. Have an amazing rest of your day, everybody. Bye-bye.